We go to hour number two. As I mentioned, I knew hour number one would be strong. I started the program off by talking about the LA Rams and the fact they bring in Ndamukong Suh. He took less money to sign with the Rams. The Rams are now officially a destination spot. The most interesting team in the NFL. Maybe even the team to beat. Maybe. No, I'm not going to crown their ass just yet. But they have had an amazing offseason. So more on that in a few moments. We also had a conversation with Noah Syndergaard. He had never been on the program. And Porter Moser came back on. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios here in L.A. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. In fact, speaking of him, this email says, Romy, love you getting Porter in for another awesome freaking interview for the clones and a nice heaping portion of the Jungle Karma for Loyola. Signed, Rowan in Pittsburgh. War the Ramblers, rambling their way up a ladder next Monday. God, the guy is one of my all-time favorites. I mean, he literally is one of my all-time favorites. You know how good an interview you have to be to come on as many times as he has come on and still be that good every single time? I mean, it's one thing to come on the program, do the show once, and show up that way. But to come on multiple times and every ensuing interview is better than the one before it, and the one before it was awesome. That tells you about this guy. He is so different. His energy is so infectious. He is so positive. He is so locked in. The guy is so real. At Brent Shoes tweets, just listening to at Porter Moser on Jim Rome. How the hell can you not root for these guys? Damn, Rome. Give yourself a tongue for the interview. I mean, I can. But again, the interviews like that, they do themselves. You know, that does not make me a good interview. That makes him a fascinating personality, a fascinating head coach. And I meant it at the end of it. God, I would give anything to hear him talk about his personal reinvention. Like, don't you listen to a guy like that. And you hear a guy who's got that kind of energy, that kind of fire, that kind of drive, a guy who can somehow keep it all together. I mean, a lot of you listening have kids, right? How hard is it in today's day and age to navigate what you have to navigate with your career, your life, your family, your kids, their school, their sports? Maybe you have really a demanding job. Hey, maybe you're the man. Maybe you're the guy. Maybe you're the gal. And you got to make it all work. I mean, I'm dying to figure out how this guy makes it all work when he's got four kids. I've got two kids. I have two kids that are, I mean, they're unbelievable kids, but it's nothing really out of the ordinary. It's nothing that the rest of you aren't dealing with. School, baseball, club baseball, weekend, you know, tutors, whatever it is. And this guy's doing what he did at Loyola of Chicago with four kids. And obviously, if you saw the interview that he talked about with Andy Katz, his kids are extremely mature. They're unbelievable kids, and he's got an amazing wife. But back to the original point, I would love to hear about his reinvention. He said, listen, it wasn't always like that. At Illinois State, I had some issues. I had some adversity, and I knew that I had to reinvent myself, and I did. Eddie in Santa Paula tweets, and he's at Ed in Santa Paula. Thing about Loyola Chicago, they are good. The Ramblers. Oh, I see what you did there, Ed. Go ahead, Alvin. Hit it. Ramblers. Ram it. And Mailman Casey tweets, if Porter Moser did call in, would Hawk know who he is? I think he knew who he was. At Finding Rebo tweets, Matt in L.A. is the jungle stray. He shows up in the back alley, and he waits for Rome to toss him a plate of spaghetti. Hashtag. Who's a good Matt? You's a good Matt. The Miano Pan tweets, wait, Matt in L.A. is predicting the Dodgers take it all? What's next? I'm getting trashed later. The Miano Pan. And one more. Subject of this email is, thanks, Jim. I've got Michigan in a pool. Now I'm done. No! Karma going to end my bracket dream thanks to that interview. Dave near Milwaukee wore my Bob Crane bracket title. I think they're running on a different kind of karma. I mean, the jungle karma may carry the day for some, but Loyola of Chicago's got a lot of different karma coming their way. Divine intervention. But then again, don't get that twisted, man. That's a damn good basketball team. That's a really good basketball team. And when they're doing what they do, when they're shooting it the way they shoot it, when they play defense the way they play defense, when they attack the basket the way they do, when they play together the way they do, when they play with the kind of energy and attention to detail that they do, there's not a team they can't beat, including Michigan, including Kansas, including Villanova. I mean, they're that good. I've been saying it during the entire run. You cannot fluke your way to the Final Four. You can't fluke your way to four wins the way they won. And it is about their culture. It is about their identity. It is about the fact that they believe in themselves and they believe they should be there. And they believe in their coach. And they've got veteran leadership on that team. And more than anything else, you never know night from night who it's going to be. Somebody new really does step up every single night for these guys. They are one of the most amazing stories I've ever seen in sports. And if they win this game, they go to Monday night. And if they win Monday night, they are officially the best story I've ever seen. In terms of how does a school like that, and he said it himself, they came out of the Valley. He did say, when people are constantly talking down to the Valley or don't know anything about the Valley, he said, if not for that conference, we probably would not have been primed for a run like this because of how tough that conference is top to bottom, how good the defense is in that conference. So I said, well, when you've never been here before, how do you get a team like that ready for that big stage? Even if they don't blink, even if they've got faith, even if they have this strong identity, how do you get them ready for the biggest thing ever?
You know, Jim, there's nothing I can do to simulate what's about to happen, you know, in terms of the hoopla. But what I will say is, though, every step of our journey, there's been pressure. You know, even going to the conference tournament, everyone was saying we had to win it. And then after we won it, you know, we came back and there was a huge selection party. I mean, the hoopla for on Selection Sunday was great. And then we had a whole week off to practice. And everyone was asking me, how are you going to bring these guys back to earth after winning the Valley tournament? And then they came in and they wanted more. I mean, I could tell, you know, just how we were talking and how the workouts were going. They wanted not just to get in this tournament. They felt they belonged. And then we won the first two, and then we come home to a hero's welcome, you know, a motorcade from O'Hare, everything. And everyone was asking me the same thing. How are you going to handle it? This is crazy going on. And they went into this part of it so excited and ready. They wanted more. And that, so all I can say is every step of the way, they've embraced the stage. They haven't shied away from it. They've embraced it because they've wanted more. Now, this is the biggest stage of all, so that's another step of it. But I can just tell you the way they are. I mean, every film session's been locked in, every practice. They just keep saying, no, we've had a mantra, no finish line. They want more.
Not only have they embraced it, they act like they expected it. They act like they knew it was going to happen. They act like they knew this day was coming. I mean, I've never seen a school like that, a seed like that, guys like that hit the stage that big and act like, yeah, what? Why is everybody making such a big deal out of this? We knew we could. We expected it. We thought it up. We conceived it. And here it is. Denlesks on Twitter. He tweets, our Father, who art in heaven, saw it be our game. To the dance we come. And now they're done. The tourney won by an 11. Signed, Sister Jean. She didn't say that. She could do much better, Denlesks. She would do much better. A little housekeeping note for you. You know, every single day, we're still getting people calling, and especially from Southern California, unfortunately, wondering, where is the show? How do we get the show? What happened to the show? Where did the show go? We know you're everywhere, Rome, but you're not right here. How do we find the show? Here are the best two ways to get the show if you don't currently have the show in your car. Sirius XM, channel 206. Yes, we move channels. I know there's some confusion right there, too. We came out, we were on Sirius XM finally after all this time, and we came on, and then we quickly changed channels. I understand that was confusing to a few of you. However, it's a good thing. Now we're on one channel. If you have Sirius XM, if you're on satellite radio, we are on channel 206. The entire CBS Sports Radio lineup is on channel 206. The other way to get the show is on radio.com. It's an app. It is not a website. And I know some of that's confusing to you. It's not a website. It is an app. You can download it for free. We are streaming live every single day there, radio.com. Again, it is not a website. It is an app. Also, I know a number of you are wondering about our podcast today. Draymond Green is being moved to later in the week. It looks like it's Friday. I will keep you posted on that as well. That's why I've not been hyping up Podcast Tuesday starring Draymond Green. I think it's going to be Podcast Friday starring Draymond Green. That looks pretty certain, but I will let you know as soon as I know for certain. So just a little bit of housework, a little cleanup for you. Meantime, telephone number is wide open. Go ahead and use the number, 1-800-636-8686. I'm going to break right now. When we come back, Bill Self, the head coach of Kansas, joins us. Then we are open phones the rest of the way. Also, the Rams getting Dominican Sue. He takes less money to sign there. Is there any way they pull OBJ out of New York? I'll hit that too. The clones, I know there are plenty of you out there that had a bad night. How do I know this?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. A tremendous Tuesday to you. I am Jim Rome in Southern California. And as promised, we're joined right now by the head basketball coach at Kansas. He is a six-time Big 12 Coach of the Year. He has led Kansas to a national championship. He leads them to the Final Four now for the third time. He is a member of the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Kansas, 31-7 on the season, and they play Villanova on Saturday night. Kansas head coach Bill Self is my guest. Bill, it's so good to have you back. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great, Jim. How you doing, man?
Doing great, Bill. Doing great. Nice to visit with you. You've certainly been a part of some epic games as a coach. Watching from home, Bill, Sunday certainly felt like an all-timer. So where does that win in overtime over a very good Duke team to reach the Final Four rank for you?
I think it has to be two. We had the win, you know, in overtime against Memphis in 08, and that'll be one, and that'll be tough to replace that one as one. But this one was as big and as pressure filled and certainly as important as any other win that we've ever had here. So I was ecstatic. I know our players were, everybody involved with our program. But to win on that stage at that moment against that team and that program was pretty special.
Kansas head coach Bill Self, my guest. Hey, let me ask you about a sequence, Bill, in overtime. There was 2:40 left, and the score was tied at 76. Duke's Trayvon Duval goes around a ball screen. He scores on a layup to take the lead, and the story goes that after Malik Newman was fouled on the next position, you told Silvio de Sousa, you can't let him go right. Then Newman ties the game from the line. Duke comes down. Duval goes for a similar look again, but this time Silvio reads it, helps you force a turnover, and then it leads to a three for Newman. So looking back on that, just how big was that sequence?
Well, you know, there were several big sequences, but that was huge. You know, in overtime, we were playing without Azubuike, and they were playing without Carter. And so Silvio was in a situation where, you know, he's just getting here, as you know. He's only been here 3 months. He came from high school in December, and his ball screen defense isn't as good as it's going to be. And certainly, he does a good job of stepping out, but then he kind of gives up on it and lets guys continue going the direction before a guard can recover. He had done that a couple of times with Trayvon, and he's so good in the paint. If he gets in the paint and gets a shot up, he's going to make it. I mean, he was terrific. But that was a key play right there. He held longer and because he trusted the help behind him. And then after that, Malik just put on a show. But there were several key defensive plays, none bigger than Malik's defense on Grayson Allen at the end of the game, and the shot almost still went down. But certainly Silvio gave us a chance to win that game because he played 20. I mean, this is a guy who played 26 minutes in the Elite Eight game against Duke, and he's in high school 3 months ago. So really happy for him.
We're talking to Bill Self, Kansas head coach. The Final Four continues this weekend, and they've got Villanova. You know, Bill, you mentioned Malik Newman. He had 32. He had five threes. He played 44 out of 45 minutes. Did a great job on Grayson Allen, holding him to 12 points. You know, it seems like he's taken his game to a new level since the regular season, and when asked about that, Bill, he said, quote, "It's the guy that I knew I was. I just had to find myself. I had to do some soul searching. Things clicked at the right time," end quote. Does that sound about right to you? Does it feel that way to you as well?
I totally agree with him. I don't think there's anything that anybody did. You know, he's a confident kid. He believes in himself, but he's deferred way too much this year. You know, one reason why Frank Mason was great last year is he had Devontae, and Devontae's had an unbelievable year this year. But Malik, you know, during the regular season, didn't do as much to help him as what we all thought he should be doing, we had some pretty strong talks at the end of the regular season, right before Big 12 tournament play. And ever since then, it was like he just said, screw it. I'm going to go out and do what I know I can do, which we have been wanting him to do that. But for whatever reason, he's been deferring. And then, you know, the last seven games, he's been as good as any guard in the country.
Kansas State coach Bill Self joins me for a few more moments. You know, Bill, there's been so much talk about maybe this being your best coaching job ever this season. I'm not looking to make it about you, but let me ask you this. When you look at how far this team has come after some tough early losses in the year, how far exactly in your mind has it come?
Well, I think we went from being a team that thought we were going to have Billy Preston, our best NBA prospect all year long. We haven't had him one possession. And then, you know, certainly playing with such little depth, you know, maybe we could play seven, but primarily playing six the vast majority of the season and losing three games at home. We've only lost 10 games at home in 14 years.
Right.
We lose three at home this year. I was thinking, you know, the Big 12 title run, this probably wouldn't be the team that could get it done, and so there was a lot of I don't want to say negatives, but we just weren't very good, and even when we won, we didn't win the way that you want to win. You win by making shots as opposed to making other people play poorly or whatnot, but somehow or another, ever since about February 10th or whatever it was, you know, this team's run off 12 of the last 13, and that's coming from a great league. And have just kind of figured out a way to do it, and even though we've been the second worst defensive rebounding team in our league, or maybe the worst all year long, and then to do that, what we did against Duke, it's like, you know, these guys just whatever it's called for, these guys have found a way to rise up to that, and I don't want to bank on us being able to out rebound, you know, great rebounding teams by 15 every game, but. But for that moment, that's what this team needed, and it seems like if we need to make threes, we make threes. It seems like if we need stops, we get stops, you know, at the most important time. So this has been a frustrating, at times, team to coach, but probably as rewarding a team to coach that I've ever had.
Bill Self joining me for a few more moments. So as you pointed out, Bill, the reward for beating a good Duke team in overtime is you get to play a very good Villanova squad that might be the best in basketball over college basketball over the past 3 years. So how do you go about preparing for them, and what concerns you the most about Jay Wright's team?
Well, they've been terrific. They've been terrific. You know, and Jay's team has been the best in college basketball over the last 4 years. I think they've won more games in the last 4 year period than any team's ever won in NCAA history over a 4 year period. But you know, the thing that I want our guys to understand, that they've been a one seed the last 3 years. Well, we've been a one seed the last 3 years. You know, we've done some good things too, but we haven't been able to cut down a net on a Monday in April. But the thing about it, sometimes it happens when you least expect it, and we're there, and it's going to be a situation that, you know, obviously the team that can eliminate distractions and focus in on what's most important, obviously perform, you know, at the highest level when it counts the most. That'll be the team that advances. But we're in the game, and I'm so happy that our players are in the game, and certainly we're not satisfied remotely, but. But, you know, we understand that we are playing, you know, the best team in college basketball this year. That from start to finish, I don't think anybody can argue that Villanova has been the most consistent and best team in college basketball. And in order to beat Villanova, you've got to make plays. You've got to beat them. They're not going to help you. So we've got our work cut out for us. But it's a great challenge, and we've had our work cut out for us many other times. And somehow these guys always respond.
And another tremendous opportunity for the Jayhawks. And as Jayhawk fans know, Bill, and I'm sure they've been telling you, the Final Four is in San Antonio, and you were there 10 years ago, and things worked out pretty well the last time you played for a national championship there. Bill Self, the head coach of Kansas. Bill, I know you've got a busy day. Really nice to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming back on, and good luck on Saturday.
Okay, thank you.
Bill Self, head coach of Kansas. So he said himself that might be their second biggest win, the win against Duke in overtime to get back to the Final Four. Your thoughts on that, Jayhawk fans? Also, Villanova has been the best team, top to bottom, in the NCAAs for the past 4 years or so. How do you like that matchup? How do you think that goes? We will get into it when we come back, but first up, I got a sports update for you. Here's the very latest on a
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So we're now open for the second half of the program. My thanks to Bill Self, two of the Final Four coaches today, Porter Moser and Bill Self. We had Noah Syndergaard on in hour number one. So all three interviews are done. Now you should jump in, take advantage of the opportunity. The opportunity being you can get through. The opportunity being there is no waiting if you're a good caller. 1-800-636-8686. This segment's brought to you by Werner, the official ladder of NCAA March Madness. March means it is ladder madness. Get to Werner or go to getwerner.com. Find the best Werner products for you. That's getwerner.com. Phone lines open. Hit me up on Twitter. It's the fastest way to get into my telephone. Also, email the program, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Go mark up my Facebook page. Whatever you need to do, get it done. Find a way in. I'm looking for some interaction. In fact, I got a lot of interaction earlier when I said, if there's a sound bite or a sound drop that you do not understand or don't know where it comes from, or maybe you like it, but you need some background, just hit me up on Twitter. And we've gotten hundreds of responses. I'll have that for you in a minute. Meantime, one of the other big questions right now is OBJ really available for trade or not? Would the Giants really move this guy? Are the Giants looking to move this guy? Would they move this guy? And if so, where could he end up? Understand, this is not an easy guy to trade for. You'd have to give up a hell of a lot to get him, and you'd have to pay a hell of a lot to keep him. So who makes sense? I'm going to keep it right here in L.A., the Rams. Why stop at Ndamukong Suh? As I mentioned, when they signed Ndamukong Suh, he left money on the table to come to L.A. L.A. is a destination all of a sudden. Now this is a place where people want to be, not just because of the town. That's always going to be the case, but they want to play for the Rams. They want to play for the Rams as an organization, and they want to be in L.A. So if I'm Les Snead, who's had an amazing two offseasons in a row, if I'm Les Snead, why do I stop at Sue? Why not take the ultimate swing and try to get Odell Beckham Jr. out of New York? Again, Giants owner John Mara said himself that while they're not necessarily looking to move OBJ, no one is, quote, untouchable. And when the Giants say that no one is untouchable, what they're really saying is, for the right price, you can have this guy. Just don't lowball us. Don't waste our time. Don't lowball us. Don't waste our time. Because while this guy may be a headache, we're still willing to put up with what we put up with this guy. But for the right price, he can be your headache. We're just not giving this guy away, and we're not going to just ship him out to the highest bidder. But yes, this guy can be yours if you take a big enough swing. And the speculation is the Rams have interest. And the speculation is the Rams may, in fact, have what it takes to get a deal like that done. Ian Rappaport, who's had himself a week, in fact, he's had a really nice few weeks, he tweets, the Giants are listening to trade calls and talks for Odell Beckham Jr., and there have been several, I'm told. At Weish89 says, the Rams' number 23 pick is available. What's not clear is whether New York actually wants to trade him. They're definitely open to listening, though. Of course they're open to listening. I'm not saying they're looking to move this guy. I'm saying the guy's available for the right price. And if you're the Rams, I would do more than kick the tires on this guy. I mean, if you're Sean McVay and you had the NFL's best offense last season, could you imagine what that offense would look like with a legitimate wide receiver at number one? If you thought that Jared Goff looked good with Cooper Kupp as his number one receiver, and no disrespect to the pride of Eastern Washington, who had a great rookie season, But can you imagine what that offense, what that team would look like with OBJ? That's where it starts to get scary. They didn't have a 1,000-yard receiver last year. Todd Gurley led the team in receptions. Nobody averaged more than 65 receiving yards a game. The second OBJ gets off that plane, then that problem is solved. Again, I'm not saying this is an easy deal to get done. I'm saying if I'm the Rams, I look at every possible angle and see if there's a way to get this guy out of here. Remember how I said that I wasn't quite ready to crown their ass after they added Tlaib, Marcus Peters, and Ndamukong Suh? Well, after adding Tlaib, Marcus Peters, and Ndamukong Suh, and OBJ, then you can go ahead and crown their ass.
Crown their ass.
Yeah, I know. I know. He's kind of a pain in the backside. Right. And so apparently are Tlaib and Peters and Suh. That's part of the reason why all those guys were available in the first place. So why would I want them on my team? If it's the right team, I want them on my team. And the right coaches and the right situation, then they can flourish. And I'm telling you, the Rams are that right team. They are. Sean McVay is the right coach. Son of Bum is the right coach. It's the right town. It's the right organization. It's the right time. The Rams can handle this guy if the Giants can't, just as they can handle the other three that they brought in. Sure, they swung and they missed on Sammy Watkins. I get it. Get back in the box. Take another hack. Once again, winning in this town is not enough. You got to win a certain way. And there's nobody more electric than Odell Beckham. Yes, he's got baggage. Yes, he's coming off a serious injury. Yes, he is looking for hellified Jack. And yes, he is worth all the trouble, especially for the Rams. Hey, listen, the Rams might even be the team to beat. They might be the team to beat even if they can't get this guy. But if somehow, some way, Les Snead works a miracle, then that removes all doubt. Then they are absolutely the team to beat. They might be without him, but they absolutely are with him. And the real question is, do the Giants want to trade him? Hey, look, I'm not saying they're actively shopping him, but they're going to pick up the phone if it rings. They have to. The guy's already on record as saying he's not going to take the field, reportedly, unless he gets a new deal. Giants fans, why don't you come in and talk about this? I'm sitting here in California. I gave the Rams angle. I gave it to you from the Rams standpoint. What do you think the team is going to do? Should they keep him or should they move him? And can you get fair value for him? Rome, I'm totally sure that Odell will succeed anywhere he is traded and that he's got no chance of failing. Signed, that terrible friend spinoff, Joey. Chris, no longer in St. Pete. Warn me, being a Giants fan, hoping that the circus known as Odell gets sent packing. All right, that's a Giants fan saying, we don't need this guy. He's not worth it. I'm saying if you're a Rams fan or you're a coach of the Rams, he's worth it. He absolutely is worth it. Yeah, I don't know, Chris. I've seen the Giants without Odell Beckham Jr. I've seen Eli Manning without Odell. I'm not saying that Odell isn't a real problem, because he is. But I'm saying he's a real problem who's got a skill set that's unmatched. But he's got to come back from injury, and he obviously wants to get paid. Especially now that he's been hurt, he wants to get paid. Man, keep Odell and Joey from friends out your mouth. I'm not a big Friends guy. I've seen the show a couple of times. But even it seems to me, you can't say Joey was the Odell of Friends. I don't even know who was, really. Not a big fan of that show, but... I mean, Chandler? Is Chandler the Odell of Friends? Not a big Friends guy. I really don't know. All I remember is they all made a mil an episode back in the day. All I know is if I go to my mailbox and I get checks that I'm not expecting from being in Space Jam 20 plus years ago, I would love to go to their mailbox and see what their checks are. It's got to be so awesome. How awesome would that be if you just go to the mailbox every single day and you're just kind of flipping through your mail? Bill, bill, bill. Ah, there's a check. There's a residual check. Wonder how much that is. 15 grand. Awesome. Didn't expect that. Maybe Chandler or Joey, maybe they're both Odell Beckham Jr. If you can go to the mailbox and pull that kind of cash out of it and not expect it, man, good work if you can get it. Rome, If the Giants trade OBJ, who's going to celebrate touchdowns when they're down by 30? Stephen PHX. Man, all fair. All fair. Who's going to propose to the kicking net? Who's going to go on a boat party at the end of the season, before the postseason? I mean, all fair. All fair. But I can make the same argument about Ndamukong Suh. Do you really want that guy? They used to say similar things about Aqib Talib. They still say these things about Marcus Peters. This is all fair. I mean, these guys were all available in part because of finances and the salary cap, in part because, in Talib's case, age, and in part because there's questions about their character. All fair. But in the right situation, guys like that can flourish. In the right situation, even all those guys together can flourish. I'm betting that Sean McVay can handle that locker room, and that locker room can handle those guys. And son of bum will have a defense that those guys want to play in. And I'm guessing Beckham would love L.A. I'm not saying they can get him. I'm saying if I'm the Rams, I do whatever I can to get him. And then if I don't, I'm still in really good shape. Sports God 1 tweets, Rams get OBJ and it's Super Bowl or bust. I mean, Gurley, OBJ, Kupp, and Woods. I'm going to tell you something. It's already Super Bowl or bust. Again, a number of these guys are on one-year contracts. That window is open right now. Even if they don't get this guy, the Rams have got everything they have pushed to the center of the table. It's already Super Bowl or bust. If they get OBJ and he's healthy and he's focused, then anything short of a Super Bowl win is going to be disappointing. Hey, no pressure there. Got some Bill Self reaction, too, on Twitter. At Jayhawk Gene tweets, Coach Self is always a great interview and arguably the best coach in college basketball. If you have never been to Allen Fieldhouse, add it to your bucket list. Yeah, Bill Self was feeling it today. He was in a good way. He was in a good way today, and why wouldn't he be? What a great win that was for them. An amazing win in overtime. Chris and KC tweets, regardless of a 14th straight Big 12 title and this year's Final Four appearance, with this team's lack of depth, this is Self's best coaching season to date. Honestly, I don't know what he would say about that. I have no doubt in my mind that this is the best job he's ever done. I mean, they lost 3 games at home. They lost 10 like in 14 years at home. This was the year the streak was supposed to end. Most thought so. And he's got that team in the Final Four. Not only in the Final Four, but he beat Duke, who was the best team on paper, and the team to beat in this tournament. And he took them to overtime and beat them there. I don't think there's any doubt. This is the best job that Bill Self has ever done. Jayhawk fan, how are you feeling about your chances? And the new game we're playing here in the jungle, What's That Sound? Matt in Poland Springs tweets, new listener here. I always hear the name Toby mentioned. Can you please clarify what that drop means? Thanks. Pat in Moland Springs. No, Pat. I can't clarify that. Pat in Moland Springs. See, I knew I'll get into this, but as I'm trying to cater to our new listeners or some old listeners who have found their way back to the program and have some gaps to fill in, I knew certain idiots like Pat in Moland Springs would use that as an opportunity to try to reset things like Toby. Hey, Matt, you probably were here for Romageddon, right? When I did all the things that I said that I would never, ever do ever again on the program. No need to do so. Let's see. At SilkBra tweets, what's the story behind the bra?
Bra.
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 Bra drop.
Bra.
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 Bra. Bra.
Bra.
I don't know, bra. Why do you always
bra.
Say bra?
Bra.
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 Bra. Bra.
Last bra. Call. In fact, every call, there's an over-under on how many times you'll bra,
bra.
Me.
Bra.
20. Bra, what is that?
Bra.
Bra, don't tweet me
bra.
Things like that. Bra. Bra.
Bra.
Bra. You won the bra. Smack off once. Bra, you're better bra. Than that. Come on, bra.
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 Bra. Bra. I don't know, bra. Why is there a fake bra?
Bra. Bra.
Bra.
Bra.
Bra.
Come on.
Bra. Come on. There's silk. There's
bra.
Fake silk.
Come on.
And then there's fake silk.
Come on.
Bra.
Bra.
One of my favorite moments when a guy called and pretended to be silk. Bra.
Bra.
We'll hit that next hour. What's the drop? New little segment. Let's go to the phones. We go to Seattle. This guy's been on hold since the very beginning of the program. Tyler in Seattle. Tyler, what's up?
What's happening?
What's up, brah?
You know, the Rams.
Brah.
Come on, man. Freaking Rams, dude. They're a bunch of egotistical maniacs that think they're going to all of a sudden put some fairy tale togetherness. I don't know. It just doesn't add up. You know, the Chargers are sitting here under the radar, just like, you know, nothing. Like a tiger ready to pounce on its prey. No one can hear us. No one can see us. And before they know it, they're dead. Hey, Rome, I heard you mention something about shared belief biting your arm off. Yeah, I got a video of him trying to kick someone's face off. It wore me getting married on August 18th.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Hey, Tyler, were you waiting 2 hours to make a phone call like that? None of that made sense at all. There was no part of that that made sense. I mean, never mind the shared belief stuff. I'm not reacting like that because you cracked my horse. None of that made sense. What do you mean, like the Rams aren't going to live this fairy tale existence? The Rams went from 4 wins to 11 wins. The Rams won the NFC West last year. The Rams had the defensive player of the year, the offensive player of the year. They've got a franchise quarterback, and then they have an amazing offseason where they add Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, and Dominican Sue, and they might not be done yet. What the hell are you talking about? That the Chargers are lying in prey or lying in wait, getting ready to jump their prey. And Cher Belief, you saw Cher Belief kick somebody's face off? What are you talking about? Brah. You know what the sad thing is? And if you're on hold, don't take this the wrong way. Or if you're on hold, take this any way you want. That was the best call on hold. That was the best call on hold, and that's one of the worst calls I've heard in weeks. Tyler, come on, man. You're better than that. At least you should be. At least you used to be. I mean, that's not only one of the worst calls in weeks. That's in the front running for worst call of 2018. That made no sense whatsoever. Brah. Just because you don't like them, just because you don't agree with it, doesn't mean that the Rams are not a team to look at, a team to beat. I mean, they're easily the most interesting team in the NFL already, and they might be the team to beat, and they may not be done yet. And again, the thing that I like best about this, they're stockpiling all this talent and some questionable character, but they're doing it without mortgaging their future. They're doing it when they were already so far ahead of schedule, and nobody would have faulted these guys if they didn't do a thing this offseason. But they're not. They're doubling down. They're tripling down. In fact, they're all in. Everything. Rome, Talib, Peters, Sue, OBJ. Are we talking about the dream team of unsportsmanlike penalties? Who's next for this dream team? T.O.? Chemistry will prevent greatness, and the calls for Super Bowl will be met with an early playoff exit, with chains being ripped off, knees being stomped, and balls being punted into the crowd. Tom and Dallas, maybe. Hey, listen, they're gambling. There's a reason why all these guys are available. There's a reason why OBJ may, in fact, be available. I get it. They're definitely taking a risk. I think these are good risks. The reason I like the risk is I think they've got the head coach and the locker room to handle these guys. And I think these guys want to be here. All right, we'll take a short time out. Hour number 3 coming up. Man, step it up. I mean, I say it all the time, but I mean this sincerely. Step it up. The calls have got to be better than that one. Have to be. Third hour straight ahead. Don't go anywhere.